I'm not able to. Okay.
I think the batteries are going on it.
Two statements in two different verses, verse 58 and I guess 62. They appear to be contradictory or circular logic, and need your help understanding what I'm missing in here. The first statement says, unless one is able to follow the do's and the do nots, restricting oneself from sense enjoyment, it is not possible to be firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. And the other statement reads, one who is not in Krishna consciousness, however powerful he may be in controlling the senses by artificial means, is sure ultimately to fail. So on one hand, you need to control senses to be in Krishna consciousness. And the other hand, it says that if you're not Krishna conscious, you'll not be able to control your senses.
Yes.
So how do you read the two together?
But it's very simple. Part of Krishna consciousness is controlling your senses. But controlling your senses doesn't automatically make you Krishna conscious. So, you know, part of the criteria of a dog is that he's got four legs. But everything that's got four legs doesn't mean that it's a dog. So you may perform austerities, jnanis perform austerities, yogis perform austerities, they don't necessarily Krishna conscious. Materialistic people perform austerities in order to get the results of their work. But Krishna consciousness means performing austerity, regulative principles, chanting Hare Krishna, other types of self-restraint that a person voluntarily undertakes. So you need to perform austerities in order to be Krishna conscious. But just because you perform austerities doesn't make you Krishna conscious. Sometimes people are proud of the fact that, you know, they're renounced or detached. But if your renunciation doesn't lead you to Krishna, it's useless. So there's a verse like that. Ararito yadi harita sastatakim. Ararito yadi harita sastatakim. Antakvahi hari yadita sastatakim. Antakvahi yadi harita sastatakim. Ararito yadi harita sastatakim. The purpose of austerities is to worship Krishna. But if you don't worship Krishna, then what's the purpose of your austerities? And if the result of austerities is to be able to see Krishna within and without everything, but if by your austerities you don't see Krishna within and without everything, what was the use of your austerities? So, yeah. Austerity isn't everything. Austerity is, and sense control is just one thing. But Krishna consciousness means transcendental knowledge coming from the association of pure devotees and purification of the heart by chanting Hare Krishna. Sense control doesn't purify your heart. It just restricts your senses. And sense control doesn't give you transcendental knowledge. Keeps you from degrading yourself and making it difficult for you to understand transcendental knowledge. You understand?
So would it be correct to infer that sort of sense control may make you a qualified candidate, or some level of sense control may help you be a qualified candidate for Krishna consciousness, but by practicing Krishna consciousness, you further enhance your sense control?
The first part is like that. The sense control, if you're sense controlled, then you're a good candidate for Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness requires sense control. And that's good. But if your sense control, if you don't add it, you become qualified, or you're a candidate, but you don't become Krishna conscious from the sense control. You need to add the Krishna consciousness to it.
Okay. This is a statement from verse 70. It says, the proof of a Krishna conscious man, one who has lost all inclinations for material sense gratification, although the desires are present. how is it that you have the desires but not the inclinations to fulfill those desires?
Yeah. Just like someone may have a desire for something. We have a desire for hamburger, as a gross example, but it doesn't do it. Desires may be there in the heart, just like as long as the material body is there, one may have a desire for sex life. But still, one doesn't do it. Or one only does it under the circumstances that are allowed within Krishna consciousness. So desires are there. That's the whole purpose of sense control, is by spiritual strength, one gets the strength to restrain one's senses, which are then urged on by desire, because senses, they don't act on their own. They just respond to the desire that's present in the heart. If, it isn't that the sexual organs have desires of their own, the desires there in the heart of the person, and they just facilitate that. So if you control the senses and the sense organs, and you have the spiritual strength to do that, then in effect you're controlling the desires within the heart, particularly as you're chanting Hare Krishna, and those desires become purified in time, and in time they disappear. That's the only way to get free from desires, is by purification of the heart. But if you don't restrain yourself, if you indulge, then you incur more desires, and then it becomes a catch-22 situation. And that means that's why we have these regulative principles. That's the austerity. If you want to clean your heart, then just clean what's there. Don't add anything onto it. If you engage in illicit activities, then you're just adding more stock of things to clean. So you're cleaning and you're making dirty at the same time. Now, where are you getting? Well, it's a unproductive process.
Knowledge are taken away by the illusory energy of the Lord.
Which knowledge has no value?
It says the effects of a sinful man's knowledge are taken away by the illusory energy of the Lord.
Let me see, what's the verse? Oh, here. Let me see. Show of being a yogi while actually searching for the objects of sense gratification. So his knowledge is, in other words, someone has knowledge of yoga, engages in different types of yogic practices, but still his desire is not to free himself from material desires, but he's still after sense enjoyment. So he indulges. Doesn't control his eating, his sleeping, his sex drive, and things like that. So then, even though he may have this knowledge, but if you don't put knowledge into practical application, what use is it? Then it's useless. Aradito yari haritas pasnati. So if I have knowledge of how to make a cake, but I don't make cakes, then what's the use of making use of the knowledge? It's useless. So it's just if I don't have it. So you may have knowledge of Krishna consciousness, but if you don't really put it into practice, then it's almost like you don't have it, in one sense. When you stop being hypocritical or being two-faced, then it's fine. But if someone knows the principles of Krishna consciousness and makes a show of being a devotee, in this case here is for being a yogi, but at the same time actually his goal of life is not to become purified, but it's to continue enjoying the world, that he's just an enjoyer in the name of Krishna consciousness. And his knowledge is hypothetical, theoretical, but it doesn't really give him any practical result because he doesn't put it into practice.
How about if the knowledge is there based on Prabhupada's books, but the practice isn't perfect? So you're sincere, but you're not.
It's the intent. It's the intent that's the important thing. So if someone has the intent, but here we're talking about someone who doesn't have the intent. Uh-huh. For him, it's just an external thing. His meditation is sense gratification. It's not that he's weak or necessarily just that he's incomplete in being able to realize sense control. He doesn't have any intention for it. And there are many people like that. Kali Yuga means that people use religion as a means of living. They have no intention of being religious. Mm-hmm. They just use it. India is full of so-called sadhus. They dress in sadhu vesh, in saffron vesh. They go around, they beg and so on. Mm-hmm. And because of the tradition, people give them money and donate. In the West, generally, these people are called bums. But in India, you call them sadhus. They don't have any intention of spiritual perfection. They're not. They're not trying to understand what the absolute truth is. It's a way of living, livelihood, and they do all kinds of things, all kinds of activities, sinful activities. So the intent is important. Weakness, that's another thing. That may be there. It's Kali Yuga. But if the real intent is there, then that will ultimately guarantee. So Krishna says, Apichet Sudharacharya. Samyak Gamit Posasa. Even if someone's not perfect, he makes mistakes. But Krishna says, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. Quickly he'll become righteous. Because if the intent is there, that means you're also trying. And if you try, Krishna helps you. And then it will come. It will take place.